you just feel sorry for me? No, I'm glad that she's able to do that. She actually went down to spend a little bit of time with them, help them out as they're getting ready to transition into going back to work. Both of them are getting ready to do that, I think, in the next week or so. But I'm glad that she has the opportunity to do that. She'll be coming back tomorrow, so I ask you to keep her in your prayers. We're talking about gods at war, and we've been focusing our study on looking at the gods that are at war for the throne of our heart. And one of the things that we want to focus on with this study is to be able to look at and to identify what those gods are, so that ultimately what our goal is to be able to dethrone them. Let's get them out off the throne of our heart, so that the only one who is sitting there, the only one who is ruling on our heart, is God Himself. Now, last week in our study, we talked about and looked at the fact that the Bible says, and God calls Himself a jealous God. And in fact, He says His name is jealous. And that jealousy comes from the love that He has for us that's so intense and so relentless that He will not share us with anyone. He does not want us to share our affections with anyone. And so He is jealous for our love. Now, this morning, as we continue in this study, we're going to be talking about the choices that we make to worship. Okay? And so let's take a look at and realize, first of all, the fact that everybody worships. Okay? Everyone worships. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you claim, but everybody worships. It's part of our DNA. Okay? In other words, we were created by God, whether people acknowledge God or not. He created us to worship. Okay? So everybody is going to worship something or someone. You might say, in other words, that we are wired for worship. Okay? God wired us that way. He made us that way. He created us so that we would be beings that worship. Now, of course, God created us and He wants us to worship Him. Right? Okay? The problem is sin. And so oftentimes people end up worshiping something else or someone else. But the point being that we are going to worship. But here's something that you need to think about. Not all worship is religious in nature. Okay? But all worship. Okay? So not all worship is religious, but all worship something or someone. Okay? So if somebody tells you they don't worship, typically what they're thinking of and what they mean is they don't go to worship. Okay, they're not involved in a church somewhere. They don't participate in what they might refer to as organized religion, but they do worship something or someone, you see? So that brings us to the question that we really need to understand as we continue to study. What is worship? Okay, when we talk about worship, what are we really talking about here? All right, well, here's a couple of thoughts for you on this subject. As a philosopher by the name of Peter Crefted said, the opposite of theism, that is a belief in God, is not atheism, but rather idolatry. Okay? So in other words, those people that would say to you or to me, they would say, well, I don't believe that God exists. There is no such thing as God. Anybody believes in God's a fool. And all those other things that atheists say, and they would claim that they don't worship. Okay? But the reality is, even atheists worship something. Okay? Even atheists worship something. They may not worship God, Jehovah God, you say, but they do worship something. And so here's the conclusion with that. If you're not worshiping God, the one true God, and you are going to be worshiping something, then the only alternative is that you are an idol worshiper. You see? Kyle Eidelman, in his book on Gods at War, makes this statement. He says, when you subtract the religious language, okay, Take the religious aspect out of it. He says worship is the built-in, okay? It's built into us. It's a human reflex to put your hope in something or someone and then chase after it. See? That's worship. That's what it really is all about. You see? Because all of us human beings, we want and we put our hope into something. You see, we live in a world that oftentimes is very hopeless, don't we? You see? And so we put our hope into something. Everybody does. Everybody puts their hope into something. And so if you take the religion aspect out of worship, you see, in other words, when people talk about organized religion, I don't go to church, I don't believe in it, and all that kind of, okay, take all that out of there. But the bottom line is you still have something in your life that you hope for, something that drives you, something that you chase after. And that's still worship. It may not be church going. It may not be religious in the sense that we normally think of it is, but it's still worship because that is what has your affections, your hope, and your attention. That's what drives you in your life. So everybody worships. You see? Now, that brings us to, in the text that we read this morning as we began, Joshua's call to make a choice. Okay? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14, Joshua says, he challenges the Israelite people, and keep in mind, this is the end of Joshua's life, and he's been leading the Israelite people. He took them into the promised land. They conquered the promised land for the most part, and now Joshua is getting ready to leave this world. He's getting ready to die, okay? And he puts this challenge before the Israelite people, and look at what he says. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your fathers served or worshipped beyond the river, okay? And he says, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now think about that thought for just a minute, okay? He's telling them, throw away all the gods that your fathers worshipped that they had beyond the river. Throw all those things away. But if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Okay? And he goes on to say, whether it's the gods of your ancestors that they worshipped on the other side of the river, or in this this particular translation, the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. In other words, the people that you're living amongst right now, you choose. If you're not going to worship God, then you choose whether you're going to worship the gods of your fathers, your ancestors, or whether you're going to worship the gods of the people around you. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, you see, what Joshua is really saying to the people is you need to make up your mind. Okay? Make up your mind. What are you going to do? Who or what are you going to worship? Okay? And what he does in this text, and this is what I want us to look at this morning, is he puts forth three options for them to choose from. Okay? Three options. You need to make a choice. Who it is that you're going to worship. And so let's take a look at the options that Joshua lays out for them. First of all, option number one is the gods that your fathers worship. Okay? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Is it going to be the gods on the other side of the river, the gods that your ancestors served, that is, those that before you came into the land, are you going to serve those gods? You see, are you going to follow the ways and the beliefs and the practices of your parents? That's option number one, you see. And that's a question that you and I need to be focusing on in our lives today. You see, here's a question for you to think about. Do you have your parents' faith or do you have your own faith? That's one way to look at this. You see, in other words, are you worshiping the way that you worship and you believe the things you believe because that's what your parents have always done and what your grandparents before you've done and all of your ancestors. And so that's what you do? Or have you made those beliefs your own? Have you searched? Have you studied? Have you learned? And have you developed your own relationship with God? Say, or are you worshiping what your ancestors worship? Here's another question. Parents especially, think about this. Are you erecting gods, so to speak, idols in your home and teaching your children who or what to worship? In other words, what are the things that are going on in your home? What are the things that are there? The TV shows, the things on the computer and all the different activities and the things that are of the most importance to you, are those the things that you are putting up before your children as idols? Now, we talked about a few weeks ago that we have to realize that not everything that becomes an idol is necessarily in and of itself a bad thing. They're not all necessarily wrong, but when they become the affections of our hearts, then those seemingly innocent things can become idols. So what are the idols, perhaps, or the things that you have erected in your home that are idols for your family? Option number two. The gods of the present culture. He says, you choose. He says, you can choose the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of your forefathers, or how about the gods of the Amorites, he says, in whose land you now dwell. In other words, those that are surrounding you. The gods that are here around you, that the community, that the people worship and chase after, the gods of our culture. You see, the Israelites were, in a sense, kind of absorbed into their culture. Okay? And they did what everybody else around them did. And so the people there, the Amorites and all the other inhabitants of the land, they worshiped the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and so the Israelites worshiped the Baals and the Ashtaroth, you see. They did what the culture called for. Is that something that we find ourselves doing is the culture? You see, I'm convinced that Christianity today is really more of a mix of our culture than anything else. When you talk about the broad sense of Christianity, just think about it. You see, it really is less about God and His truth and His Word, and it's more about what people want. You see? Just think about it from the perspective of how many Christian religions there are just in America. Several hundred at last time I counted. You see? And so many of those religions, see, are so far removed from what the Bible actually teaches. And they're so attached to what people want and what the culture is doing. And that some have even declared, you see, that what they do is they interpret the Bible for the times. You see, so in other words, God's Word has to keep up with the culture. And so is that not the same thing as worshiping the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? You see? So do we find ourselves with the gods of our culture? Whether it be sports and sports figures, athletes, whether it be celebrities, whether it be money, whether it be the possessions, and all of those different gods that we've been talking about. Those are the gods that our culture worships. And so the challenge for us today is to look at ourselves and to say, wait a minute, am I kind of caught up just like the Israelites were in worshiping the gods of the people in whose land I'm dwelling? And keep in mind, remember that we don't belong here, right? We're just pilgrims. Y'all remember that, right? Okay, you see, so this is a land that doesn't belong to us, that we're dwelling in temporarily, and it's a land that is ruled by the culture of all the people around us. And so are we, like the Israelites, absorbed into the culture, and we find ourselves putting up gods that the world picks up and puts up? We find ourselves in allegiance to those gods, chasing after those gods. Remember the definition of worship, something that we put our hope in and we chase after. You see? And are we doing that with the gods that our culture has put together? You see? Where Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That's the culture, isn't it? You see? Don't conform to the culture. Don't worship the gods of the culture. Don't do what the culture is doing. But rather, he says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Joshua gives that challenge to the Israelite people. It's one of the options that he throws out there. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of the culture that you are in the midst of? Okay. So in other words, are you conforming to the patterns of this world? Something that we all have to really take a good, hard look inside at. Have you been absorbed into the culture? Okay. And doing what everybody else does, and wearing what everybody else wears, and going to the places that everybody else goes, and doing the things that everybody else does. See? We have to really take a look at and consider the seriousness of that option, because it's so tempting. And it's so easy to get absorbed into the culture, isn't it? The third option that Joshua gives is, of course, the Lord. Okay? Are you going to serve the Lord? Before issuing the challenge that Joshua gave to the Israelite people, he went back and he reminded them of all of the things that God had done for them. And even as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, we see that God continually goes back to one really important, significant event in the history of the Israelites, and that's at their beginning as a nation, the Exodus. And so he reminds them of how God brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, you see, and made them into a nation of people and gave them a covenant and called them his own. And he also reminded them of how he had brought them to the promised land and gave that land to them, which was a promise that he had made to Abraham. Okay? That he would give them this land. And Joshua reminded the Israelite people of these things that God had done for them in challenging them to throw away all of these other gods and to worship the Lord and the Lord only. So here's a question for you. In the same way that Joshua challenges them, what have any of these other gods, the gods of your forefathers or the gods of the Amorites, what have they ever done for you? And we need to look at and consider the same thing. What have any of these gods ever done for you? The things that we so typically and so easily put up in our lives, the things of the culture, as we've been talking about, what have they ever done for you? Versus what has God done for you? Okay? And when you really stack them up side by side, it's really, really easy to see that they, like the gods of the ancestors of Israel, the gods of the land, the gods of the Amorites, who are just wood and stone and silver and gold couldn't do anything. They couldn't do anything for themselves, let alone anything for the people. The gods that we so often put up before us today can't do anything for us either. Like the people so long ago, we can find pleasure and contentment in worshiping these gods. But those gods really don't do anything for us. Okay? Joshua, as he issues that challenge, it's all about the choices that we make. Because you see, the choices that we make indicates the direction that we're going to go. Okay? And the direction that we go, here's the key to it. The direction that we go is what's going to determine where we end up. So you see, it really is all about choices that we make. And Joshua lays out the choices for us. The same way that he laid them out for the Israelite people, he lays them out for us today. What are you going to worship? Who are you going to worship? It's a choice that all of us have to make. We have to understand there's not but two destinations ultimately. Okay? Not but two. And the choice that you make is going to determine which one of those two destinations you ultimately end up at. You end up by worshiping Jehovah God, the real God, the only God. You end up in eternity with Him. Heaven. Worshipping any other god will take you to the only other destination there is. See? And that's eternal damnation. But it really comes down to the choices that we make. Which direction are you going to go? You see, the direction, you see, is determined by which road we take. And it's really, really important for us to understand that it's really not true that all religions lead to the same heaven. Okay? Like these folks think that it does. Okay? It's not true. You can't just worship however you want to worship and go in any direction you want to go in and expect to end up in the same place that those who are following God are going to end up in. It doesn't work that way. Because it comes back to the choices that we make. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one direction that leads to life. The other leads to death. No matter how colorful it's made, no matter how appealing it's made, no matter all of the things that look really fun and exciting and everything else, even the things that look legitimate, they're still going to lead to the other direction because there's not but one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus. Okay? And so we really need to understand the seriousness of the choice that we have to make. So in order to do that, let's talk about identifying. You know, we've been focusing on these different gods, these idols that are at war for the throne of our heart. Well, how do we identify those gods and what they really are so that we can really dethrone them? That's what we said is our goal here, right? Well, I think that we can best do that by looking at the choices that we make, because the choices we make can indicate what kind of gods we're worshiping. So let's take a look at some of those choices that might help us to identify what the gods are that are warring for our heart. And keep in mind, as we've talked about before, the gods are going to be different for different ones of us, you see. So we each need to look at it and realize and to focus on, okay, what are the gods? How do I know that? Well, let me think about the choices that I'm making because that's a good indication. So, for instance, series of questions here for you to think about. what I choose to do for a living. Okay? What I choose to do for a living. Do I have, in other words, a job, a career that not only supports my family, but it's something that is honorable, and through that job I can bring glory to God? Or do I have, maybe I'm looking for a job that is less honorable and doesn't bring glory to God, but rather focuses on the things of the world? What do I choose to do for a living? How about how I choose to use my money, to manage my money, and where I choose to spend my money? All of those kinds of things can be an indication of what kind of gods are warring for your heart. See? So think about the choices that you make in terms of where you spend your money and how, and all of those kinds of things. What are the kinds of things you support and do and so forth? See? How about what I choose to watch on TV? There's a great place to go and look at and really see, you know, is there an idol there perhaps that is warring for the seat of my heart, the throne of my heart, that's focused on what I watch on TV, the kinds of things I look at and watch and so forth. How about the friends I choose? See? The friends that I choose says an awful lot about who and what I'm focused on in my life, what's most important to me, and so forth. You young people especially, I want to encourage you to think about that. Okay? Because not just young people, all of us are, but young people are oftentimes much more easier persuaded. Okay? So the friends that we choose can be a really good indication as to who's on the throne of our heart. How about the websites that I choose to visit when I'm on the internet? We talked about this a few weeks ago and talking about the website itself, the internet, and how that can be something good, but it can also be something very destructive. So what are the places that I choose to go, in other words, on the internet? Is there something there that would indicate that there's a God that's warring for the throne of my heart? How about the clothes that I choose to wear? You say, are they clothes that are more revealing than they really should be, and they're making a statement about me and my life, and they're showing and they're provocative and things of that nature? You say, or maybe they're clothes that make a statement about what I really think. But are they bringing glory to God? That's the real question. Or are they doing something else? Okay? How about the way I choose to spend my spare time? It's another way. The choices that we make to try to figure out and wonder, okay, maybe is there something going on here? The choices that I'm making in my spare time, and where I'm spending my time, and what I'm spending my time doing. Okay? Now, again, keep in mind, in all of these different things we're talking about, they're not always bad things, are they? You see? But again, it goes back to the point of realizing that if we're not careful, we can find ourselves choosing things that are not bringing glory to God, and they're not showing that God is the center of our life and is sitting on the throne of our heart, but rather something or someone else is. Okay? How about what I choose to think about? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 talks about thinking about it. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. So you see, it even has to do with the things that we think about in our lives, in our daily lives. What's going on in our mind, in our brain, you see, as we go through our day? What are we choosing to think about and to focus on? Instead of asking, in other words, what gods am I worshiping? Because sometimes it's a little difficult to to kind of figure that out. Just looking at it that way, ask ourselves, what choices am I making? The reality is that we make choices every single day, don't we? You see? Every single day. And some of those choices that we make are really insignificant. They really don't have a whole lot to do with what's good or bad or right or wrong or moral or immoral or anything else. Who cares whether you get mustard and ketchup on your cheeseburger or not? But it's a choice that you have to make, right? But when it comes to making decisions about whether or not you're going to wear these particular clothes or whether you're going to watch these particular programs or whether you're going to go to these particular places, you say, then those choices become a lot more serious, don't they? And so it really does have a lot to do with the choices that we make, because the choices we make, you see, then those choices make us. They define, in a lot of ways, who we really are. Someone once said at work, money, the hobbies, the addictions, the setting our spouse up on a pedestal is another one of those things, you see. But Satan wants us to do all of those kind of things. He wants us to choose those kinds of things and put them of higher importance than God. See? Because Satan wants to sit on the throne of our heart. But it really does come down to, in a lot of ways, about the choices that we make. Here are three things to think about concerning those choices, okay? Number one, are your choices actually yours or are they your parents? Okay, it goes back to that, you know, the gods on the other side of the river, the gods of your forefathers. And are you making those choices? They're your choices, or are you just doing whatever it is that your parents have done and so forth? Another question. What would you say are the gods of choice of our culture? Okay. Can you identify what those gods really are? And then a third question is, how has following Jesus impacted your choices and your life? Okay? Some really serious, important questions to think about in terms of the call that Joshua gave to the Israelite people and that you and I have before us today in our lives. You see, because it really is about the next generation. Okay? Joshua, in chapter 24, verses 16 through 21, tells us that after Joshua challenged the people with this call, the people responded by saying, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord and to serve other gods." And then they went on to talk about the things that God had done for them. You see? And he says that they commit themselves to serving the Lord. Why? Because He is our God, they said. So they made that commitment, that promise to follow God. All right? Verse 22, Joshua says to them in response to that, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." Verse 23, "Now, throw away," he says, "the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Throw them away. So now it's challenge time. Okay? It's challenge time. And what I'm doing is I'm issuing this challenge to this church family right now, this morning. Same challenge that Joshua issued to the Israelite people back then. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods of your ancestors or whether it's the gods of the culture in which we live in, or whether it's going to be the Lord, who are you going to serve Will you throw away the gods that are at war for your heart? Will you do that? See? And yield your heart to the Lord God. That's a challenge that I'm issuing to every single one of you this morning. And here's what I'd like to do. I've been trying to figure out how the best way to do this is. And I just want to ask you. If you accept this challenge, then I want you to stand and get out of your seat and get in the aisle, get in this aisle, get on the side. Get up out of your seat if you accept this challenge. If you don't, then stay there. And I don't want anybody to feel like, well, everybody else is standing, so I got to stand. You need to understand how serious this really is. So I'm calling on you this morning, right now. If you accept this challenge, get up out of your seat. And move out of your seat somewhere except in your seat. Wow. The next generation depends on what we do. I want you to listen seriously to what I've got to say next. Okay? Because all of us are out here and all of us are saying, yes, just like the Israelites did, yes, we will follow the Lord because He is our God. And we're going to throw away all the idols, right? That's what they said. And that's what we're saying right now by standing together and accepting this challenge. Two chapters later, it wasn't very long in terms of Joshua's life. It's only two chapters in the Bible. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, they all died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what He had done for Israel. One generation is all it takes, brothers and sisters. One generation. And the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals, exactly what they had said they would not do. And all of us this morning have accepted that challenge, the same one. And we have said, we will serve the Lord, and we'll throw out those idols. But if we don't stick to that, and we don't teach our children, then the same thing is going to happen to the next generation. The very same thing. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I wanted to do this morning because I want you to know, I want it to sink into your heart and your mind of how serious this really is. Don't take it lightly. And you see, as I said a few moments ago, it's real easy. Everybody gets up and everybody's going to move because nobody wants to be sitting in the pews, the only one going, well, I'm not sure I'm going to worship God. It's easy for everybody to get up together and we all say, but that's what the Israelites did. Let's not be like them. Let's not be like them. See? That's what this is really all about. We're already standing. Okay? The invitation is extended. For anyone that needs some prayers, maybe something going on in your life, maybe something that's at war, a God that is really giving you a lot of problems and you need some help with, some guidance, and if you need to get back to your songbook, you can do that. We're going to sing an invitation song in a moment. But we're going to sing this song, and I want you to be thinking about that. And what can we as a church do to help you to honor this commitment that you've just made? Right? And I and the other elders will be up here in the front to receive anybody that would like to come up here. Ted, will you go in the back? And if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with Ted in the back, then he'll be back there. to receive you. Baron, lead us in our song.